Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today, we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Now, Father, anoint your word. Anoint everyone that hears this word. May this word bring transformation to our lives for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, we are in our family month. A big month that we always look forward to because family is God's idea. And there's many people that are trying to come up with ideas on how family should work. And we passionately believe the best way family works is by God's way, God's biblical principles. And that's why we love this month. And God designed us to be in family. When God created Adam, he saw it wasn't good for him to be alone and brought alongside Eve so they could start family. And God's intention is each of us should be part of a family and also can start family. And so family month is such a critical one for us because we recognize that, yes, this institution of family is under attack. And last week we began the series. You can find out, get that message on our podcast. And it is about the family practice of devotion to God. This series is going to be focusing on some of the practices for healthy families, for blessed families. And so we talked about the practice of being devoted to God. God first, if you want to have a blessed family. And there were three ideas there, and they were picked from a man called Cornelius, and he obeyed the word of God. That's what blessed families do. They pray and express their devotion through fasting as well, but they are also generous because you cannot connect to God and not be generous, and that's a practice of blessed families. Today, we want to carry on with another practice of blessed families that is amazing. This principle even goes beyond families, but we're going to concentrate on family. When I was a little younger, a little boy, and boys like to be innovative and find different things that they like to do. I was a very competitive little boy. But in my competitiveness, I never used to get to the extent of fighting. I never got engaged in fights. And my experience of fighting, because as boys you want to see things bashing each other, was to either use toys. Some of you have little boys who, and my boys do that now. You buy them toys, they cause the toys to fight. They beat each other. But because we didn't have toys, what I used to do was to create my live video game. I would get different types of insects and put them in the same tin. And I loved watching them fight each other. I tell you, these insects, and I didn't know the names. They used to give them local names. They are those with the mouth open. And they would hit like a ninja. And it was like, and I would see them. And that was my experience of fighting. And then sometimes I would get ants, which have sharp, and sometimes they would also, you know, bite me. Put them there, and I would see them slice the other insects in there. And that was what I used to watch, and look at that. But one day at school, there's a guy who drove me nuts. He really upset me. He wasn't even one of my close friends. I don't know what he did. But we decided that after school, we are going to deal with this showdown, you know. And this was my very first fight, I remember. And after class, the bell rang. I knew it was time. We went and met somewhere. Some of you know these ways of resolving these things. And so, boy, and some friends were there. Yeah, go. Boy, I began. I gave that guy, you know, the beginning. I powered him. He fell down. I kept going, but I got tired. He got up. He started pounding me. And the only way I would survive was to run. And I ran, and the kids were laughing. And I was running for my dear life. But the thing I had in my head is that I had also given in. I had given in. And that's how we were trying to resolve this. But here's the truth, my friends. In family, we will always be offended by our family members, husbands and wives. You may offend your spouse, children or siblings offending each other, relatives, we offend each other. But how do we deal with the offense when it happens? Do we fight? Many times, sometimes we fight or we run away, flight. And those two practices are not good for family. What we need to practice is forgiveness. Everybody say forgiveness. For you to have a healthy, happy, and blessed family, you must learn to practice forgiveness. Practicing forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk about. Because when we fail this practice and begin to live in unforgiveness, the impact is devastating. And I know as I talk about this subject, Holy Spirit is going to be highlighting some areas where you need to forgive. Do not fight it. Because you see, God doesn't tell us to forgive just because we must do it. He wants us to forgive because forgiveness opens the door to experiencing a beautiful relationship, but also God's blessing. However, if we choose not to forgive, the impacts become negative, not only for family and relationships, but for society. Some of the stuff that society faces and the brokenness is as a result of failing to practice forgiveness. You know, unforgiveness will cause you to start to control situations around you very negatively. And forgiveness also causes you to live a life that's under control. There are people, if you never forgive them, you never want to be with them in the same place. They start to almost silently control your life. I heard of somebody who said, when I'm walking on the street and I meet so-and-so, I have to cross and go on the other side. If I find them in a restaurant, I can't enter that restaurant. If I see a Facebook post that they were somewhere having fun, I don't even want to go to that place because of unforgiveness. See how it messes us up. Unforgiveness will create emotional destruction. Unforgiveness has spiritual impact. When you do not forgive and shut the door off from other people, this is what you've done. You've decided to shut the door, close out people, and you've closed yourself in a room with Satan. Because Satan loves unforgiveness. When you close people out, you open the door for the enemy to come and begin influencing your life. That's what unforgiveness does. Unforgiveness affects relationships. It affects us even in the area of our physical health. Doctors are beginning to discover, and they're saying this, many of the illnesses we experience sometimes spring from unforgiveness that creates bitterness in our hearts. Unforgiveness is a dangerous thing when it comes to relationships, and more specifically in family. It will destroy family. What it definitely, ultimately does is to block God's blessings. You literally put a roof off of God's blessings when you choose unforgiveness. But today, I want to challenge you. Those of you who are married here and you have a family. Those of you who are not yet married and are hoping to start a family. But we all belong to a family. I want to challenge you to choose the practice of forgiveness, because it will release a new level of blessing in your family. And forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice that you make. This subject of forgiveness was addressed by Jesus. And in the Bible, forgiveness is defined very simply as this: letting go. Everybody say, letting go. It's letting go of an offense that has occurred to you. One time, Peter, I don't know what had driven him crazy, Matthew chapter 18, I think someone had really rubbed Peter the wrong way, Simon Peter, the disciple. And I think he forgave the first time, and the person did it again. Maybe it was one of the disciples, I do not know. And he was irritating Peter so badly. Do you have some of those people that you forgive once, and then they do it again? And you forgive them until their very appearance needs forgiveness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Peter had reached that point. And so Matthew 18, from verse 21 to 35, Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" I think that person had one more chance. Peter was on number six, saying, "After this one, Lord, how many times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times, multiple times." Then he starts to bring a kingdom principle. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king." He begins to teach on forgiveness. "A king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife," it's affecting the family because he had failed to pay a debt, "and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go." Forgiveness, letting it go. But here's what happened. "When the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, waylays. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused." He refused. He chose not to. Because forgiveness is not automatic. It's a choice you make. Unforgiveness is not automatic. It's a choice you make. You choose not to forgive. He refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. He said, "You wicked servant. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. It all turned around. And then Jesus says, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." What a teaching on forgiveness. So it's not something you do from your head. Jesus is saying, from your heart. I want you to do a heart search right now. Are there family members that are in the room labeled unforgiveness? Today, through God's word, I know that that door is going to be opened and God, by his grace, is going to come through and help you to forgive those people. To God's word. And Jesus here is teaching on this subject because he knows it's going to be a reality in life. We will face offense even from those that we love. Earlier on, Jesus had taught in Matthew 6 about forgiveness. He had already also said to them that in Matthew 6:14, that if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. You will have blocked the blessings of your heavenly Father over your family, over your marriage, over your relationship. And Paul, also talking about the subject of forgiveness in Ephesians 4:31-32, he says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Because that's what unforgiveness does. It creates these motions right here. Brawling and slander causes you to start to do those things and speaking negative, along with every other form of malice. Because unforgiveness drives you to even start malicing the people around you, doing bad, giving them silent treatment, never giving them attention at all. And that's what unforgiveness does. Slandering, going public, trying to shame other people. And we see that happening a lot in our society. But instead it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Why should you forgive? It's a big question. If you are a child of God, the reason you should forgive is that you have also been forgiven. We didn't deserve God's forgiveness, but he extended it to us. Freely we have received, let's freely give. How many of you want to be forgiven when you have offended somebody? We all want to be forgiven. We want to be given a second chance. But why is it that when it's our turn to give a second chance, it becomes harder? Today we are saying we are going to be countercultural. We are not going to choose the path of convenience. We are going to choose the path of conviction, where we shall do the right thing with God's help, and that is to forgive, to let go. So how do we practice forgiveness? When an offense has happened, how do you actually journey through forgiveness? I'll give you 4 steps, and they're just simple steps that will help you in this process of forgiveness. And like I said, if there's any room in your heart of unforgiveness and there's people that you need to forgive, here are some steps I'd like you to follow. Because this is about being practical in building a healthy, happy, and blessed family. Or even relationships, because there's some people that could have offended you. Number one, acknowledge the hurt that has happened to you. Acknowledge. Acknowledging is coming to that place where you're saying, I have really been offended and this has hurt me. Sometimes we've had this notion, be a man, be a brave woman. Okay? And it's true, you need to be a man, be a brave woman. But in the context of offense, it is being misapplied. It is telling you to ignore the offense. And I love what Bob and Audrey Meisner said. When you choose to bury an offense, it has not really died, it is alive. And then another one happens, you bury again something that's alive. One day it will rise up and it will explode. So when you have been offended by your brother, by your sister, by your relative, by dad and mom, husband and wife, you have to come to that place where you say, this has really hurt me. Now, sometimes we go through pain like that and we even numb the pain. It no longer ceases to be an offense. But do you know what it does? it starts to impact the relationship that you have. So you know what? Let's just be at peace. But you're carrying the pain. You need to acknowledge that I'm actually hurting. I am hurting. I'm hurting by the words that were spoken to me. I'm hurting by the way I was ignored. You got to acknowledge it. But when you also recognize that you are the offender, you need to acknowledge it. You need to swallow humble pie and say, I've done something wrong to my wife or to my kids. You got to acknowledge that you've done something wrong. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 23, 24, he says, therefore, if you are even coming to offer your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Jesus was saying, do not ignore the offense. So I'll just carry on going to church, doing cell, and not deal with it. Jesus is saying, you gotta acknowledge an offense has happened and it has hurt you. Then once you've acknowledged, the second step is this. Surrender that situation to God. Sometimes when we are in a place of pain and hurt and emotionally wrecked, if you try to immediately address that situation, that's where things get from bad to worse. Because you're not in the proper emotional space. Neither are you in the right spiritual space or even mental space to deal with this situation. So what does that do? If you acknowledge you've been offended and immediately try to resolve that thing, there will be defenses. There will be, sometimes it even gets enormous. There's so much quarreling. There's so much. It just gets emotionally heated up and makes it worse. One small offense now leads to multiple other offenses. Because you try to deal with a simple issue your way. The reason you surrender to God is you're saying, God, I am so interested in reconciliation. Right now I am hurt. God, is there anything in me that contributed to this? And also I am asking you, God, forgive me, heal my heart, and then I'll come and start to resolve that matter. And I need your grace in this situation. Hello? You invite God in the picture. You bring him in this situation of offense. You see, when you invite Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is a high priest who is very capable of identifying with us when we go through such offenses. Because the Bible says he went through what we all go through, yet was without sin. He knows the pain of the offense. And that's why you invite him and say, Jesus, this is how I am feeling. Rejected, abandoned, abused, taken for granted. Jesus knows all of that. And so in Hebrews, that same chapter, chapter 4, verse 16 says, because Jesus identifies with us, this is what we need to do. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with this confidence, so that we may receive mercy. Because when you are the offender, you need mercy. But even when you're offended and you're carrying hurt and pain and difficult things in your heart, you need God's mercy. You need forgiveness as well. And find grace to help us in our time of need. At that point when you need to resolve a matter, you need God's grace. You don't need the media. Hello? You don't need those girlfriends that you're going to gossip with. Men, you don't need those guys as you are watching football. You're saying, but my wife. You need God's grace to help you to deal with that situation. God's grace to help us in that time of need. And that's a time of need because you want to bring reconciliation in that matter. Psalm 147 verse 3 says this, that God heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Please recognize, even when we have experienced forgiveness from somebody else, there's only one who can heal. That is God. That's why you need to bring the matter before God. Bring yourself before God. Third step. Choose to let go of the offense. Make a choice. And the process of choosing to let go of the offense is you decide in your heart, I am going to forgive. I've been with God. I've brought this matter before God. Now I have decided I'm going to let go of the offense. The process of letting go of the offense involves bringing up that issue with the family member that has caused it. And talk about it. At that point, you can have this confidence that because you've brought it before God, God is going to take care of the rest of the details. The person may refuse to receive it, but you've done your part. So I'm going to bring it up. The person may misunderstand you, because sometimes the reason we are afraid to bring up something is you're afraid of being misunderstood again. But you've invited God in the picture. Jesus once said, if you're trying to do it man's way, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Because man's way can be manipulative. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do the other, so that I get them in a place where they are happy, and we will talk about it. Invite God in the picture. Say, God, I need you. Daughter or son, and you are going to talk to your dad for what they've done. They refuse to pay your tuition because maybe dad deserted mom and started another family and said, go on and do your own stuff. You're even not my child. Never come to me. And there's that pain in there. I tell you, trying to do it your own way won't work. You've brought it to God, and now with confidence, you know that his grace can help you in that time of need. And you can now go and say, whatever happens, I do not know. But God, I know you're taking care of me. Choose to let go of that offense. Colossians 3:13 says, tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Practicing tolerance. Forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. When Paul says forgiving is a process, you do it all the time, forgiving one another. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. You choose to forgive. You choose to ask for forgiveness. It's the third step. Choose to let go of the offense. When God called us to plant a church in Gulu, I had the privilege of leading that project, planting the church and starting the work that we have in Gulu. Man, because of the war that had happened in Gulu and the family destruction that had gone on there, what was holding back Gulu was not the Lord's resistance army. It was a resistance internally not to forgive. The emotional destruction of the community in northern Uganda and the spiritual impact was worse than the actual war that happened. The war was the physical thing, but it impacted that part of the city so badly in an invisible way. And when we got there, you could see the pain in the eyes. You could see that without these people resolving and choosing to let go of the offense of the atrocities that had happened, there was no way they were going to progress. And the first thing we did was God connected us with somebody who knew how to deal with people who have gone through trauma. And there was a simple illustration that's actually, he got it in the context of Africa. And this is what we used to use when we'd go to communities and we're working through with them in order to forgive this subject. He would use a snake bite illustration. That when a snake bites you, what do you do? Very important question. When a poisonous snake bites you, what do you do? Now, some of us, we will bite the snake back. Sometimes we do that. You hurt me, I'll hurt you. An eye for an eye. Jesus taught that. Tooth for a tooth. I don't have enough teeth to give out. Those are just about, how many teeth do we have, doctors? 32? Now that is only 32 opportunities. The tooth is going out. Some of us would now be in debt with the tooth bank because each time it's a tooth for a tooth. An eye for an eye. We just have two eyes. It would be tough. We'd have a one-eyed church here and we are protecting the other and telling lies. That's one response. If you say, I'm also going to hit them back. And we would tell them, when a snake bites you, the first thing you need to do is remove the poison that's inside you. If you spend time trying to chase that snake, the poison is slowly going to kill you. You may succeed in killing the snake, but you will eventually die. So, choosing to let go of the offense is saying, I want to let go of the poison that this offense has caused. And then I want to make peace with the person who has offended me. If they never agree, here's the fourth step. Do one more thing. Bless and release them. As I conclude, Romans 12, 20, verses 21 says this. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap up burning coals on his head. But verse 21 says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Bless them. Bless them. Those four simple steps in the practice of forgiveness, acknowledging that you are hurt, taking the matter to God before dealing with it, and then as you deal with it, you choose to let go and then release and bless those people. Those four simple steps will turn around your life, your family, and you will have a healthy, happy, and blessed family. Come on, give Jesus the praise if you believe that. I acknowledge it's a tough subject, but with God, He can enable us.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.